A blonde and a brunette walk into a bar, a room, to talk about Jesus, exploring God's word, tackling topics no one likes talking about, discussing biblical truths, and dodging bad theology on the way. This is Her Theology. Hello and welcome to Her Theology. Thank you for listening. If you are new, welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Cass. I have beautiful Kirst here with me.
Hi, ladies.
We are still in lockdown.
And now I'm in lockdown.
Oh, no. Kirst was getting all lonely having some freedom over in Lake Mac. And so now Lake Mac has joined Central Coast and Greater Sydney and the rest of pretty much New South Wales and is now in lockdown as well. So all the lockdown vibes coming down to all our OGs out there. We love you. We feel it. This is going to be a fun season to look back on and go, oh, I remember those days. This too will pass, everyone. This too will pass, shall pass. That's Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, we are going to speak about truth, fighting for the truth today. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm looking at
going,
I was just this weird on? Look going, we haven't talked about the title for it, and I just
no, we haven't. My notes say convo on truth.
So we're gonna have a conversation. This is actually not us doing a ton of prep and doing it like an actual thing. This is us having a conversation about truth because we're just living in a little bit of a crazy world right now. But before we get stuck in, Kirst, what have you learnt new this week?
Okay, well, we're in lockdown, right? So that means that everybody's doing their sourdoughs, their scobies, and their what's that for? That drink, kombucha.
Kombucha, yep.
Anyway, I'm looking at all of the things that people are doing, and it occurred to me that I'd never thought this through before, but everybody probably knows this except for me.
It's always a good start.
Cucumbers. Pickles are actually cucumbers.
Yeah, okay, you didn't know that.
I didn't tell me that. Not joking. Like
they're little quacks. What do they call small cucumbers? Quackers. No
idea. Anyway. I don't know anything. Everything I knew about cucumbers has completely changed. So, like, why do they call them pickles? I get that they're pickled, but
I call them gherkins.
Pickled pickles. Do you know what I mean? It's very, like, very misleading. And so for 31 years of my life, I have believed that there was a different kind of vegetable called a pickle.
That just looked heaps like a cucumber.
Yeah, that tasted nothing like a cucumber.
Well, I call them gherkins. I don't call them pickles.
Yeah.
I wonder
if so. It's still mind-blowing to me.
And pickles and gherkins are the same thing overseas, right? We just call them something different.
I think so.
We need an American to ring in on this.
Yes, we do.
Conversation. Well, there you go. Yeah, like I did already know that one. Sorry, Kirst.
COVID has taught me one thing so far. No, it's probably taught me more than that. But that's been one thing that I've learned recently from the – all the Instagram posts. Anyway, what have you learnt?
Well, I was breastfeeding in the middle of the night and I just thought randomly I'd look up the Titanic and the history of the Titanic. I don't know why.
Okay.
But, okay, so the 700 survivors that came off the Titanic, they were all part of the third class section. Oh. There was only 2 baths to share. Between all of them.
Oh.
Yeah, legit.
How long were they supposed to be on the Titanic for?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like how long are we talking of sharing these? That's crazy.
It was a while because it was a pretty big trip, wasn't it? I don't think it was like a few days. Like I feel like you would have had to have bathed at some period during the journey. Anyway. Pretty hectic. And the richest man on board at the time, his estimated worth at the time was $150 million, which would have been the equivalent of like $3.5 billion in today's standards.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he die?
Yeah, he died. Yeah, he did. He was actually on his honeymoon.
Take your golf with you. He was on his honeymoon, was he?
Yeah. And they found $2,440 in his pocket when they found it in the ocean, which is the equivalent of like $80,000 today.
Oh, my goodness.
Hectic, eh?
Yeah. What is he going to buy?
I don't know. But anyway, I was like, there's your fun facts about the Titanic. By the way, fun fact, I hate that movie. I hate that movie.
Why were you looking it up? You just wanted to know the actual facts.
Yeah, the actual facts. Yeah. Anyway, that's my cool thing. There's some truth bombs for you, everyone.
It was a good thing to look up during breastfeeding.
Pickles are cucumbers, and the Titanic had two baths for the lower socioeconomic people.
I'm 700.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, Kirst, take us away. I think you should maybe start this conversation, and then we'll just go from there. Have a chat. Okay.
Well, I was talking to Cass the other day because I was like, I was talking to my husband the other day because I was like, saw this note. I'm just like rewinding. How did you get here? I'll start from the start. I saw a post the other day on a friend's Instagram, and I was talking about how one of the worst things that we or that this generation has taught or learnt or whatever or has been taught is that we are experts in everything. And we believe it because of the, like, we have so much access to information with the internet. But like the fact of the matter is, and this is what the post was getting at, is that we're not experts in everything. People are experts in their field of expertise. You know, if they've spent a good portion of their life studying something or whatever, working or whatever it is. But it just made me think like how we do in like our society, we do think we are experts in everything, and how this is this repercussion of postmodernism. And so then I'm like, okay, well, what's postmodernism? So I always like, I don't know, like year 11, year 12, people would throw that word around and I'd always be like, I don't know what that means. And I would read about it and then I'd forget it. And so I'm just going to, if that's you out there, let's just like get a working definition. So it's kind of character. This is what the Britannica online says. And then I will translate into our language. It's a late 20th century movement characterized by broad skepticism, subjectivism, or relativism, a general suspicion of reason, and an acute sensitivity to the role of ideology in asserting and maintaining political and economic power. So let me translate. So postmodernism is when you're skeptical about something and using your own judgment, you decide whether it's true or not.
Yep.
It's also wrapped up in being really suspicious of reason or rationality, and it's really sensitive to any type of ideology or belief system.
Yep.
So let me further, I'm just going to go another layer of translation. In our society, we've taught ourselves that when we hear truth or falsehood, we don't just accept it as truth or falsehood, because according to postmodernism, there is no truth. Because your truth is what's true for you. My truth is what's true for me. So if I like what I hear using my own subjective personal judgment, then I decide that's good. I decide that's right. I decide that's true. I decide that's bad. I decide that's wrong. I decide that's not true. Forget about experts. It's up to me to decide.
Yeah. There is no absolute truth.
Right. That's what postmodernism has taught us. Mm-hmm. And it just, that post got me thinking about it because I was like, yeah, that this is, postmodernism has become this repercussion, like this thinking of we are experts in everything is a repercussion of postmodernism.
Yeah, and they almost go so far as to say now that we are in a new era, not called, some people throw it around, say there's different terms for it, but they don't say it's postmodernism anymore. They say it's truth modernism or whatever, where it's like my truth. If this is my truth, which is the same thing, right, then it's my truth. There is no, you can't tell me I'm wrong. They said it's actually been taking it a next level to postmodernism now, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess like the outworking of postmodernism is you can't tell me I'm wrong because because I get to decide what's right if there is no absolute truth. And I think, like, largely it's come about because of, well, I mean, you could do all the history into it and blah, blah, blah. But I think largely it's come about because we have been taught to read and view things to see what we get out of it.
Yes.
So we take our personal emotions, our feelings, our present state, our experiences, and we read or view something or whatever, and we put all of those things into it, and then we go, well, this is what it's giving to me. And unfortunately, that means that as Christians who live in this generation, we actually do that when we're reading the Bible as well.
Mm.
And so we have to be so, 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 so careful
mm.
to not come to God's word and be like, this is how I feel. This is what I've been through. This is all of the things. This is what I'm presently going through, blah, blah, blah.
Let's not let our emotions define what the word of God is saying or meaning.
We have to, like, let God's word speak and don't frame it in a certain way, which, like, just thinking, like, when you read the Bible, of course you want to apply it to your life, but we've got to be careful that we're actually applying what the Bible says and not what we have interpreted it to say to us, which is a really tricky thing.
And like you were saying, our generation, postmodernism, it's been around for a while. They say Friedrich Nietzsche was like the father of it, which was a German philosopher in the 1800s. Mm. But, I mean, you've got really big names in philosophy and psychology that absorb postmodernism, taught it in the unis. It's now in the whole realm of psychology and that whole aspect. But it's also infiltrated all media. So it's the way songs are written. Like it's the narrative that is through all of culture, whether it be in our books, whether it be in our shows, whether it be in the social media world, whatever it may be, it is the narrative. It is the core narrative of pretty much all the messaging that takes place. And you've got to remember, postmodernism and Christianity do not mix. Like, they don't meld, because, like, Nietzsche and all these other guys, they were not Christians. They wanted to eradicate. Their purpose was to say that religion was pointless or useless, or maybe they said there would be it would serve a purpose, but it wasn't true. You know, it served a purpose to help that person, but it there was no God or no point in religion. So, yeah, kind of backing up what you were saying with the whole history and context and how it's like, how when it's saturated our culture in that way, and where it's the ongoing main foundational narrative of everything we hear, of course that's going to infiltrate the church and how we have been discipled to read the Bible, right? Sorry.
Even just the way that we go to the word ourselves. Yes, it's just a very humbling thought to think, oh, is something that I'm maybe not even aware of in my culture actually like changing the way that I'm letting God's word into my life. And I don't know, I was just like kind of like thinking about all that. And there's just this, I mean, there's just so many dangers with that. And obviously, like, as Christians, we believe that there is an absolute truth.
Mm.
That absolute truth is the Bible. You know, that absolute truth is God's word. And so that changes everything.
Yes.
Because no longer are we like, oh, well, then I decide based off my feelings, emotions, experiences, what is right and wrong. It's God decides what is true. God decides what is right and wrong. God decides all of the things, and it all, you know, should filter down from that. I guess, like, what is the danger with this postmodernism thinking. So many things. We can funnel out truth or believe lies as truth. Like if there is no absolute truth, then how do we even know it's true?
Well, there's no standard. There's no parameter. Right. We live in a world where we are innately, it's like instinctual for us to want to have boundaries, for us to want to know how far we can go. You know, that's, you look at children growing up, they want boundaries. They flourish when they're given these parameters, you know. And it's the same when you take away and say that there's no absolute truth. We're just lost, aren't we? Because there's no direction. There's no end goal. There's no
purpose.
No purpose. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. And everything is based off our emotions or our personal experience. So just like in the judges' day, everyone did as they saw fit. That's what the world becomes. Well, this is what's best for me. So this is what I'm going to do. So if I'm living as, because I mean, that's a repercussion of this type of thing. I'm going to do what's best for me because this is what I believe is true.
Yep.
And it's actually completely selfish, which is going to end in chaos, which we see in the world. Counteract that with the way that Jesus wants us to live. He wants us to love our neighbors. He wants us to, you know, treat each other well. If everyone believes they have their own truth, like I said, there is just everything has to be a lie.
Yep.
Which, I mean, but that's, you know, that can't work. That doesn't work because something has to be true. Yeah. Because otherwise, truth is not even a thing.
Well, I mean, then it comes down to truth is a lie because your truth, what you ordain as truth, is not truth for me. I feel like we're going in the Matrix here. Truth, truth, truth.
Going to start bringing out the pills soon.
But this and is what's brought forth deconstructionism in the Christian church particularly. I mean, that term isn't just Christian, but you're seeing that a big movement in that now with, you know, famous preachers and worship leaders and people that are in the spotlight coming out and saying, I'm deconstructing from my faith. You know, I don't believe this cultural conversation happening around this particular subject.
I just put my mic on mute because I got a text message, but then I couldn't hear anything you were saying. Rookie error.
I was just saying there's a lot of people that are deconstructing from the faith that are famous, whether it be preachers, worship leaders, whatever. And a lot of people are deconstructing from their faith, even people I've spoken to, because they are saturated with the postmodern thought without realizing. I don't think a lot of the time they realize. And they're saying, well, God's word can't be the absolute truth because the culture around me is telling me that this particular topic, and I am going to use the LGBTQ conversation as an example because it is largely the main reason why a lot of these people deconstruct or walk away from the faith, because they're saying, well, culture is saying it's good, it's right, it's okay. The Bible's saying something opposite. Well, that doesn't fit right with me. So that can't be right. So I'm deconstructing from the faith. And I know that's just one example. There's plenty out there. And so they're deconstructing from the faith because they don't want that to be the truth.
Mm.
They're changing the narrative of the Bible to fit their truth and what the culture is saying is true.
Because they really, I mean, at the heart of any of those issues is not trusting what God has is best for us.
Yes, that's right.
That's the heart of yes. any issue. Yeah. It's just not really fully understanding what God's trying to say and not really fully understanding that God is God and not trusting that he knows best for humanity. And so when we read things in the, you know, when we come to the Bible with our own experiences and we come to the Bible with our own things and our own bits and pieces and all of that, and we find and we see these passages that we don't, that just don't sit with us, that's a sign to keep working it out. That's not a sign to move away from the Bible and just disagree. It's actually a sign to push in, because it probably means that you've not understood it right, and you're probably assuming that God is some sort of, I don't know, whatever, and that you actually haven't understood the bigger picture of what's going on. Because a lot of people go down that line of thinking and then decide, well, God's a monster, or, you know, God's this or God's that, but actually haven't pushed in to get to the bottom of what's happening with those issues.
And I think that's shameless plug, but that's why you should probably listen to the last few episodes we've done, particularly biblical theology. I don't know what we called it, the bigger picture. Because, but that helps when you know how to read the Bible in light of that bigger picture, like we talk about in those episodes, that'll help with all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Another danger with this kind of thinking is that it just totally divides people. Like, if everyone has their own truth, there's no common ground. And that's why especially we as Christians have to fight hard against this, because the Bible is our absolute truth. It is our common ground. It means we need to work hard to understand it and be united in submitting ourselves to God's word and to his authority in that. And I know that in different denominations we have different, you know, hang-ups about different things, but we need to let, I guess, God's, like, we need to make sure that our culture doesn't win there.
Yes.
No, am I?
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because I think, because as you're saying that, I'm thinking in my head, there's probably plenty of people listening going, okay, we need to go to the Word of God for the source of all truth. But, like, the Bible doesn't talk about every single topic. It doesn't talk about every societal issue. It doesn't talk about every cultural dilemma that's happening, I guess, around us. But that's where we go, okay, well, we read the Word. Okay, the Word says God will give us wisdom. The Word says we still need to obey God's commands, to look after each other, to glorify him in the way that we speak, the way that we act. Those things are truths that will never change regardless of what's going on around us. So we apply those things to today. But then we also look at, and we've touched on this in our very first episodes when we went through the five solas, that we also look at then Christian tradition. What has stood the test of time? Because I think also sometimes we can get swept up in going, so right now we're in the midst of COVID craziness. There's lots of arguments. The division is so, it's building each day. There's hatred on both sides. It is, you can't escape it. It's really full on, particularly in the midst of like vaccination conversations and all these sort of things. They're such hot topics. But the thing is, we need to understand there's nothing new under the sun. So if it seems new to us and we seem like we can't get an answer in scripture, then we can sometimes look and go, okay, what has stood the test of the time in the Christian tradition when cultures have gone through these sort of challenges? And what lines up with scripture, you know? And where are the things that we can agree to disagree without deleting biblical truths?
Yeah. So what you're kind of talking about now, Cass, is creating a biblical framework. And with that biblical framework, we then work out these issues that aren't, you know, COVID, whatever's not in the Bible, or not, you know what I mean? Like, vaxxed, get not vaxxed, whatever it is, it's not in the Bible. And so we use that biblical framework of all of those things that it's built from to work these things out. And it still may mean that we end up in a different place to someone else, and that's okay. But I think the danger is when Christians look the same as non-Christians. And what I mean is that when Christians walk away from the word of God being the absolute truth and they let their culture and they let their experience and they let their emotions and they let their feelings become the louder voice.
Yes, which I have fallen into the trap of too a lot.
Yeah, we all do. But because, you know, the world is so divided and because of this, my truth is my truth. And the world will say, no, that's the best way to live because that's when everybody's tolerant and in harmony. But that is not true. Like, it's just, that doesn't work.
No. In fact, as time has progressed, we can see it's only made it worse not having an absolute truth.
Yeah.
Because we're getting become more divided by this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, I looked up, I did a very, very quick search on the word truth in the Bible and
yep.
and that kind of thing. And funnily enough, today was, I think, 2 John in our yep. Bible New Testament reading, and the word truth and true pop up so much. Mm-hmm. And I've chose 4 verses, all from the book of John, to share. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Mm-hmm.
So in Christianity, you do have Jesus who is claiming that he is the truth.
Yeah.
Like we follow and we have a Lord who is he literally is the absolute truth. You know, John 8:32, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. What we have as Christians is the truth, and that truth is going to set us, is setting us free.
Yeah.
It doesn't bind us. It doesn't give us no boundaries, as in like what you were talking about before, but with understanding not the boundaries, or I don't know, my brain's like going forward and forward and forward and forward, and I'm not going to make sense. I'll just go to the next one. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, but he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So like even the Spirit of truth
mm-hmm.
doesn't speak on his own authority, but like on the authority of God. And we have the Spirit of truth in us as Christians.
Yes.
And then John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So yeah. We know as Christians, we have this, we have the truth. We have, you know, the words of eternal life. We have Jesus who has claimed to be the truth, who has claimed to bring the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We have the absolute truth as Christians. We can't fall into this trap of postmodernism. And all I'm trying to say by talking about those verses is to just remind us and to help us become aware of where we may be letting our culture tell us what is true.
Yes.
And not letting it come from Jesus.
Mm. Did you read out John 17:17?
No.
Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So it's like we're actually going to be sanctified in the truth. And I think ultimately, like for me, a big lesson in all of this speaking, because I'm really, I'll be really frank, like I'm really struggling. Like I'm hardcore struggling because I turn on the media for 5 minutes and I can see the lies, because literally the narrative changes within the same presentation sometimes. Like, you know, like it's very easy to be swept up and going, oh, that's it's almost like there's a new truth being thrown in our face every 5 seconds, and so you just have to swallow it up and you're like, okay, do I just accept everything I hear, what's going on? And it is a very confusing time to be in, because like you said, we feel like we're all experts, and almost like Google and the internet is a blessing and a curse all at once. sometimes say more of a curse, because we're far too all-knowing. Whether we actually do all know is another thing, but like we think we're all-knowing in these different topics and areas. And it's getting harder and harder to distinguish what is like fake news, what's real and what's not. And so, and that's why I'm like, we can't say to you, this is true, this isn't, when it comes to like the cultural stuff going on right now and what's happening around the world. But I think the one thing we can keep on doing is going back to the word and like turning off the TV, turning off the social media, turning off our phones, turning off those conversations that we're constantly having. And look, I'm saying all this, I'm falling into that trap all the time as well. But like, and actually just going and trying to be sanctified by the truth, which is God's word. Like he's going to sanctify us through his word. And if we're spending more time trying to discern what is true in the media and in the government and in whatever else, if we're trying to spend all our time trying to figure out the truth there and not enough time being in the word and knowing the word, how are we going to be sanctified by that truth? You know, it's like, what are we feeding ourselves? We're actually feeding ourselves lies instead of truth. We have the truth. We all have a Bible. We have it there in our hands. So we need to be pushing into that if you want to combat the lies and the deceit and the confusion that is going on right now in the world. And you can thank postmodernism for that.
I'm going to go back to John 8:32 because I worked out what I was trying to say now.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so that was, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I think This is the thing that postmodernism says, you all decide what's true for you, and that is the best way for you to live, so you go for it. Whereas the Bible says Jesus is the truth, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yes.
The truth, the absolute truth, will set you free. Not what you think is true.
No.
Not what your feelings say are true.
Yes.
Not what your experience tells you to be true, but Jesus is the truth, and his truth, that's what will set you free. And so we do need those boundaries, and we do need those parameters of real truth, because if we don't have those things, we go out into the world and we try and work it out, and we take a bit of this and a bit of that, but it doesn't work for us. We need to be grounded by what is real truth. And yeah, that's all.
And so what would you say then, what do you think then in the way of, and this, because I'm also aware that there is a time for Christians to stand for truth. Mm. There is a time for Christians to speak up. There is a time for us to, that doesn't mean we just hide in our houses, read our Bible and don't participate or don't stand for or stand against, I guess, like open deception or inhumane acts, you know, things like that. I guess my question is, so where, because I'm sure there's listeners that are listening as well that are going, okay, I need to push into the Bible, that's the truth, but then, you know, there is also truth out there in the world. So how do we distinguish when to stand up for that, or when to voice or have those conversations, and when not to? Because I think that's where a lot of the confusion is right now, is that there's a big divide happening because people are both willing to die for a cause believing it's true, and there's a lot of Christians getting wrapped up in that as well. And is that, you know, I guess that's something I've been pondering. Is it good to be wrapped up in that or not? I don't think it is generally, but there is definitely going to be times where we need to protect, especially those that are parents, have to fight for truth for our children's sake. So what does that look like, do you think? Big question.
Yeah, well, I think it comes back to that biblical framework, because without a biblical framework, you can't work out, without Jesus, without God's word as the absolute truth, you can't work out anything else. You can't test anything because you have no truth to test it against. Mm. So you have to have God's word as the absolute truth. And from that, you build your biblical framework to work out these times of
confusion.
And I think that's kind of you spring from there. So yeah. if you're coming across, because of course there's like true things in the world. So if you're coming across those things, then I guess you test them against your biblical framework. Do they hold up to the biblical framework?
Yes. And also speaking the truth in love, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to attack. We need to be asking questions. I think that's a really good start. Ask questions. You know, if someone is coming at you with their truth, ask questions. If you don't know how to respond, just keep on asking questions. Often if people are believing in something, it's because it's true, because it's their truth and not based on some sort of absolute truth principle, which we would say is scripture, then often they're going to fall into their own trap, because the more you ask questions, well, why is that? Why do you believe that? Where did you come to that conclusion? Well, what happens if, you know, and you can actually just by simply asking questions, not attacking, not by telling, not by preaching, just by simply asking questions, you can often start to reveal the lies that people are believing, and it'll help you discern what is true and how to go about that. But also preaching the truth in love is a really big thing. And I think right now we're seeing a loss of that a lot. And then I've fallen into that trap, you know, massively only recently. I'm like, wow, I get so angry. That's why I've stayed off social media for a few weeks now, because I'm like, I just can't, I cannot do this. It's not good. It's not producing good fruit at all. Yeah, sorry, I'm just thinking out loud. I shouldn't do that always because I don't know where I was going then. I just know, like, for me, I'm really passionate. I'm like, there also is a space where Christians do need to be passionately standing up for truth. So when I think that there's an injustice happening, I don't want people to hear this podcast and go, well, I just keep my mouth shut. And I'm like, no, there is definitely a time and place, but it's understanding when that is and doing it and coming out of a position of love. Not out of, I need to win you over.
Yeah, and a position of empathy to really try and understand where the other person's coming from. Yeah. Because I think without empathy, like the other person has obviously got to whatever they're believing because of whatever circumstances they've been in, whatever they've dealt with, all of those things that everybody has. And we ourselves come to certain decisions based off everything we have. And so just like trying to be empathetic to understanding what's brought you to this decision, And I guess the difference again, between a Christian and a non-Christian when we're having those conversations is that the gospel changes us. The gospel is it, you know, the way what Jesus has done for us, that changes everything in a Christian's life, and it should. And so if we're having these conversations with, you know, non-Christian people, then that's got to be the clear reason for everything. Like the gospel has to be the clear core reason for all of the other things that we're deciding.
For everything we do, yeah.
And that's, you know, and I think that making that clear helps it teaches people that actually – there is an absolute truth for starters.
And which consistency.
Is, you know, yeah. An unheard of, not unheard of, but it's like, you know, oh, what? How could you say that there's an absolute truth? But that's the reality that sometimes, you know, in some conversations we actually need to bring and say, actually, no, there is an absolute truth. And then from there, that Jesus changes everything.
And I think and also not being scared to have those conversations, because I'm recalling a conversation I had with my friend. He's a good friend of mine, and he we've had plenty of discussions about, you know, what I believe in as a Christian and whatnot. Anyway, and we've had discussions like, well, that's, you know, that's what you believe in and that's your truth and that's my truth. And I was like, no, what you believe in is a lie. That is not truth. And he was shocked. He was like, I'm sorry, what? And I'm like, you're wrong. You're actually wrong. there is a heaven and there is a hell and there is a God and your creator, and you have been created with purpose, and you need to know that, you know. And he was like, no, you believe that, I'll believe this. I'm like, no, because what you believe is wrong. It is a lie. And it was just such a shock, because we live in a world, like you said, postmodernism, where no one says that anymore. It's offensive to be told that you are wrong, when the reality is we're all wrong on a daily basis on many, many things. But as Christians, we can actually stand firm in the fact that we know that this is right. And that's really special. That's very unique. And it's very offensive in a good way. You know, it's that word of God, the Bible, that is indwelling in us through the Spirit of truth, through the Spirit, God the Spirit. It's going to come out sometimes, and it's going to be that sharp double-edged knife, you know, that pierces heart, that pierces joint and marrow. And yeah. That's what the Spirit of truth does in us when live it out. It will be divisive, and it means people will hate us for the truth, because the enemy is the king of lies, right? So he's going to hate any truth. So don't be surprised when we are oppressed, persecuted, whatever word you want to use for it, you know, ostracized, because preaching the truth and actually walking out a life of truth in light of the Bible, what we'll talk about with those biblical parameters, it will be offensive to people because they're not used to it.
Mm. And the world's saying something different.
Yeah. And, oh, my gosh, talking about this, like, I think of my kids. I said to my husband the other night, I was like, what is the world going to be like when they're 60? I cannot even imagine. Like, there's just, it's so confusing and convoluted at the moment. And the reason why I say that, and I'm sharing this, is because I just saw a thing where this girl, she's like, this is what it's like living with gender dysphoria. And she talked about how, like, in the morning sometimes she's a boy and in the afternoon she's sometimes a girl, and her parents are really supportive of her, you know, whatever she needs to do, because that's her thing, aka, that's her truth. And I just went, like, this poor 16-year-old is so confused. She needs people in her life that are being like, no, you were born as a girl. You are beautiful. You are created in the image of God. You have a purpose and a design and a nature that he has created innately for you and in you. And, you know, and I was like, but look, you know, this, she's longing for acceptance and she's justifying this total mess of a confusion, you know. And I just, it broke my heart, because I was like, our kids are going to be raised in a world where there is no truth, where it's all confusing. And so we as Christians particularly need to have these conversations, because we need to fight for the truth. We actually need to fight for the truth, and raise our children knowing how to stand in the truth, even when it means costing an awful lot.
Yeah, and you know what, Cass, like, the reality of the gospel is that it is timeless as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can fear our little hearts out for our kids and what life's going to be like for them when they're 60. But as long as they are holding on to the truth.
That's right.
It doesn't matter, because the truth, you know, the truth of Jesus sets us free. Yeah. And so regardless of what's happening in the world, Jesus is timeless. And so the truth that he spoke then, and the truth that, you know, the Bible that we have now, and the Bible that is in the future, which is going to be the same Bible that we have now, it's the truth, and it will save. And whatever the outworking of that looks like, the realities of heaven and hell remain the same. And so anybody yes. who's in the truth is free. So as much as we can be worried about what the heck's going to go on, as you know, the best thing we can do for our kids is to teach them the truth.
Yep. Yep. And I love what you were saying then, like, the reality is eternity is before us, and that's not going to change. And so I think, to kind of, I don't know if you want to add any more, but like, kind of wrapping this all up, what does this look like practically as we're in the midst of all this wildness? And you might be listening to this, I don't know, 20 years down the track. That would be weird. But anyway, maybe, I don't know. Is that remembering not to be swept up in what the world is saying, to not be swept up in what the media is saying, but to actually go back and realize the creator, the God of this world, he defines what is true. And, you know, the government, our parents, our family, our friends, the media is not the arbitrator of truth. Like we are. God is. Not we.
Yeah. I was like, everything you just said.
Definitely not we. God is. God is. And just keep on going back to that. And that, and before we get involved in a conversation, checking our hearts and going back to the word of God and just sitting on it before we speak, you know, before we get involved in a debate about what is true or not. Because I think it's just, yeah, I can definitely see more and more now how right now, more than ever, we have such an opportunity to bear testament to who Christ is in all this confusion. So
that's right. And in amongst a very confused world, like what people need is real hope.
Oh, yeah.
And the only real hope that is going to last is Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, as much as, you know, we need to have certain conversations and we need to do certain thinking about things and blah, 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 like the biggest realities that matter are gospel realities.
Yep.
Because that's what's going to be going into eternity.
And so, and I think on that note, arriving on the fact that our Bible, or the Bible also says clearly, you know, we all have our own conscience when it comes to, you know, what some people might eat, or if certain people celebrate the Sabbath. Paul says that in, is that Acts or Romans? He says that. So, and he says you need to go with what is, your conscience is clear on. So don't die for a cause that isn't going to bear fruit or honor God. You know what I mean? Like, pray, go back to the Bible, go with what your conscience says on something that may not be very clear and explicit in the scripture, but in the end, it's about honoring God and giving him the glory in the midst of all that as well. Mm. That was good and heavy. More heavy for my brain at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, same. Hopefully there's something in that for others.
I'm a bit nervous. I'm like, do I want to listen back to that? Well, hopefully it made sense. But I think it was a good conversation to have, because I think a lot of people have been talking about truth a lot lately and desperately seeking for it. So I think it's a really important conversation. And I think it's a good conversation to have with your friends, both Christian and non-Christian as well. You know, checking in and seeing where people are at with it. So it's good. Thanks, Kirst.
Thank you.
Bringing it up. All right. Well, if you have followed us 48 minutes in and you are still with us, kudos to you. You are, I'm going to give you an air five. And if you can, or if you want to, you can leave us a review, share us with your friends or family, whoever, church, crew, it doesn't matter. You can find us on Instagram and follow us on there, or on Facebook as well, at Her Theology. And other than that, we will see you, not see you, we'll speak to you next week.
Fortnite.
Cool. And that is the truth. Okay, enjoy, girls.
Bye.